Hey, this is Human Furnace from Ringworm, and you're listening to Dead Air. AKA Human Furnace, and I scream and yell in a band called Ringworm.
Ninth studio album. You've been doing this for most of my lifetime.
We actually started the band around late 1989. So we were still in high school. I was still in high school.
And celebrating almost about 34 years of doing this. How do you feel? Did you when you started this, did you think you would make it to this point, or have you just been living it day by day?
No, since you started. You know, the musical landscape for this extreme style of music that we do was a lot different then. So we had no real, and I guess you could say we were ambitious. We wanted to do well, and we wanted to keep doing the band because we were having fun. But you know, there's no. I don't think we had any, at least like, you know, our point wasn't to be like big famous rock stars or fucking make a shit ton of money. We were just having fun and just, you know, screaming and yelling, having fun playing music. And we didn't think it'd last this long. We just kept doing it.
And people kept
wanting to hear us, so we kept doing it.
And when you're doing this, especially if you're doing it the DIY way, something that you saw in the scene obviously had to inspire you. So what inspired you to want to, you know, what made you want to do style of music with hardcore and metal?
Well, you know, everyone in the band and my clique and everything, we were all into metal and rock and roll and punk rock and skate rock and extreme metal, all that type of shit. So when I was younger, maybe 16, 17, I really started getting into going to local shows, traveling a little bit out of town, seeing some shows. And then eventually, you know, you start, you know, a few people that are in bands, you know, you're not just an audience member. You actually know the bands and some of their, your friends. And eventually it came around and one of my best friends, Frank, asked me to sing for his band. And it was a Ringworm at the time. And then I said, sure, why not? I could do that. I could scream and yell. So I started doing that. And then that quickly turned into Ringworm. And the rest is kind of a long history, but here we are today.
So when you're doing things for this amount of time, there's trajectories. You either peter out with intensity, it stays the same, stays stagnant, or you keep going. Ringworm, just looking at your most recent set, your vocals are like, you guys are always staying as sharp as possible. What do you feel like, attributes to just,
I think, you know, one of the big parts for me anyways, it's so when you're a band for this long and, you know, the more you go, the more people hear about you and they're like, oh, you know, you got to hear this band. It's like, you don't want, none of us want like a first time person that's been hearing all these things about us to come see us play and like, wow, look at these old lazy dudes. You know what I mean? So you want to, I continuously push myself to go harder and louder and crazier every record, just because, you know, that's what we do. That's what we do. And that's what people, I guess, expect. And that's what I don't like to let anybody down that way. You know, like we've built ourselves into this kind of machine, and we need to, you know, we need to deliver that, you know? So we just continuously stop and try to do that.
Yeah. In my mind, like you guys said, you do this because you love what you're doing and not for the money, fame, notoriety. And so why wouldn't you? So that seems like that would be the main goal.
Well, I mean, that should be the goal of almost any band, really.
It should.
But I mean, you know, we don't do it for a living. We probably could if we wanted to, I guess. But that, you know, we do a lot for, you know, so it's like we've never felt that we had to compromise with any like current musical cultures or what's going on now. And we've been able to just do our own thing since we started. And, you know, sometimes the bell curve catches up to us. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't. But, you know, we've been a constant since we started. So, yeah, man. I mean, plus we're all, you know, we're all we're professionals. You know what I mean? This is what we do. We go out there and we do what we do on record, but we just do it live.
I feel like not a lot of people do it like Ringworm does it. There's a lot of people in extreme music, there's a lot of extreme bands, but I feel like just with the metal and hardcore crossover, especially with how there's a lot of, newer bands that have come up in the last, you know, 5, 10, 15 years. A lot of them do it great, but there's not people who sound the way that you sound and do it the way that you guys do it.
That's a good thing. You know, we've often gotten put in groups, you know, like categories and genres and stuff like that. And I think just our age and our influences keeps us a little separated. It you know, we're still drawing upon influences we had when we were 16 years old. You know what I mean? And we were, you know, we still draw upon those same influences. So it's not like, you know, we're emulating any peers or any and shit. We're not really emulating any bands from the past 25 years, at least not trying to. So what we do comes from like a really honest, pure place of just, you know, keeping our inspirations youthful, you know? We still have our youthful inspirations, I guess you could say, musically. So I think that translates. And, you know, when we play live, it's, you know, in a way, you know, you're there to also, I mean, I'm there to just blow off steam because this is a natural therapy session for me, but you're also there to kind of entertain people, and people want to see what you do on record, and they want to see that live. And I don't like to disappoint anybody, you know? So it's like the minute I can't go as hard as I can on record and do it live is the day that I'll probably be like, all right, I think I'll hang it up.
And I think it was, I believe it was the This Is Hardcore set where you, you had some banter with the crowd being like, this song has a solo. Don't, there's nothing to be there. You can still mosh. You don't have to be, I don't remember it verbatim, but don't be scared.
Like, sure. I've said that quite a few times. Well, you know, like a lot of current stuff and a lot of stuff is just heavy for heavy's sake. You know, it's, and that's fine. You know, whatever bands want to do, but a lot of bands are just, you're just writing riffs so people can beat people up. And that's fine. You know, that's cool. That's never been us. If there's riffs in our songs that cater to that type of crowd participation where they just want to beat the living shit out of people, that's cool. That's a nice, a bonus, but we just write good hooks. And we don't want to make the whole song or a whole band all about the breakdown. You know, there's riffs in there, there's melody. And as primitive as we are, we like to push that too, you know?
Like everybody loves a good mosh, but like I think people when there's people who get into this style of music because of the mosh. So that's where I think it makes sense to remind people like, hey, there's some other stuff in this music that's cool. I feel like people feel like they can't, like when they're starting to get into a certain style of music, especially when it's the hardcore scene, they feel like they can't like that. They're not supposed like that's not something I'm supposed to.
Sure. I've seen that before. You can kind of see it. And they're like kind of curious. Like, am I allowed to like this? Should I like this? I mean, it's not, you know, there's no breakdowns here in this one. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it demands a lot more from as far as audience participation goes, because, you know, you could listen to a song of a band you've never heard. And when the breakdown comes, you don't even need to know the riff. It's just a natural body reaction. It's heavy. You want to start moving around. But there's some stuff in our songs that requires a little bit more. You gotta listen to it a little bit more. It's not, it doesn't come to you that naturally. I mean, it's a hook riff, you know, and it's catchy, but it doesn't automatically make you want to, you know, swing your fists around. Sometimes you just got to bang your head, you know?
And that's okay. That's totally okay. And I think it's super cool. I've listened to the new record a few times over, and it's just like, you throw some very good tasteful nods into all your influences. Like, you will have a part, they feel like separate parts, but they're integrated so well. Like, there'll be a mosh part where people can do their thing,
right?
Punch their friend in the head, but then we go to a, like I said, some fucking solos, some fucking shredding.
Yeah, sure.
Like, and it, I feel like there's bands that want to do it. They're afraid they don't know how. You guys have just been doing it so long, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
everything comes naturally. You know how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really difficult for us, to be honest with you, because I mean, Matt is a songwriting machine. He is a riff master, really. He's probably got another record written for us already. I mean, he just continuously writes, and he's in a bunch of different styles of bands besides Ringworm. So, but Ringworm, he saves all his thrash influences, all his, you know, kind of D beat stuff, all his grindcore, all the stuff that we grew up listening to. He's just got a knack for blending it perfectly. And he just grew up listening to Metallica and all these fucking solos and shit. And he could just fucking rip those out too. So, you know, Matt's just like a master of blending all that stuff. And then by the time he's done writing a song and it's my turn to do my thing to it, you know, it's I know where he's drawing his influences from. So even though I'm, you know, fairly monotone and one dimensional as far as vocal wise goes, I kind of know what kind of I guess vocal delivery or style fits those parts, because I know those influences too, and it just, they naturally fit the music. And then sometimes, you know, after doing those songs for this many years and working in this, a lot of the same tempos, it's challenging, and I like it that it's challenging to try to find new ways to sing over the same type of tempos with what I do. So sometimes I think out of the box, I don't follow the riff, or sometimes I'll follow the bass line, or sometimes I'll follow the drums. So it keeps it interesting.
Honestly, I think maybe from a metal perspective, it seems monotone, but from like a hardcore perspective, hearing how you perform live, hearing just how it sounds live, I love the New York hardcore sound. I love the, you know, the shouty vocals.
Yeah.
But like compared, there's just something about your vocals that have a little bit more dimension.
Cool. I'll take that.
And I think that's coming from the heart. And I will say coming from a hardcore perspective, because when you're thrown in the mix, like this is hardcore versus maybe, you know, like you guys have the New England Melon Hardcore Fest coming up, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Compared to something like that, you have a lot of other vocalists, like you're up there with them, but they're doing some other stuff with their vocals too. But with coming from, like, because you guys cross over into that field, I think there's a lot, there's going to be hardcore people who just listen to hardcore. They're going to hear a little bit more than their average band.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've always straddled that line. I mean, since the first demo came out, we've straddled that line and rode that razor's edge, you know, and like I've said it before, it's like, to some people, you know, we're too hardcore for metal. And then some people were too metal for hardcore. And we've always ridden that edge. And you know, but when people finally get a chance to listen to us, you know, they may have heard about us or they see us, then they're like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, there's a little bit of something for everybody, because, you know, for years, you know, if you get labeled, you know, especially early on, if you get labeled in the hardcore genre, which we kind of came up in the hardcore world, you know, some hardcore kids thinking they're going to hear like something that's like a Youth of Today or like a Madball or something, and they see us like, oh, wait a minute, this isn't hardcore, you know what I mean? And then, you know, there's a lot of people that in the metal world that would really dig what we do, but they heard we were a hardcore band. And they're like, well, I don't like those type of bands, so I won't listen to Ringer. But then when they finally do, they're like, oh shit, this isn't like those hardcore bands I've heard before. I kind of like this because this is basically thrash metal with hardcore vocals over. You know what I mean? So we've been blending these type of worlds together for forever. And you know, we leave it to everybody else what kind of genre they want to put us in. I just call us metal. We're a metal band.
That's totally fine. I think you guys have found the sonic recipe to your, like, with your crossover for, and that has been like the source of your longevity in a way that, and your guys's, you know, personal drive, because I wouldn't consider you mentioned Youth of Today, any of those bands. I'm all for like seeing GBs or Youth of Today or any of those bands.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of dating myself there, but yes, you know, yeah.
But and some of their songs are timeless, but they have their own, you know, feelings. They hit their wall and they play the songs. They play those songs, and I consider it timeless over nostalgia, but I wouldn't even say that Ringworm is either, because you guys continue to make, you have your older songs, but Ringworm isn't a nostalgia act. You guys continue.
No, that's one thing that we all consciously decided, at least I did, is I don't want to be a nostalgia act. I mean, we're a working band. We continue to make records and we play new songs, and we'll play the old ones too. We don't, you know what I mean? But it gets trickier when you got 9 albums and you've got 45 minutes to play what everybody wants to hear. And you've got older fans, you've got newer fans, and you know, a lot of the older stuff, even though it mixes well with the newer stuff, you know, some people want to hear more old, some people want to hear more new. It depends on when you got into us, you know? So we're not a nostalgia act. We never will be, you know, we are just a working band that just keeps putting out records.
And what are your feelings? Just like, cause sonically you guys have, you know, improved a lot. You guys have gotten more intense. You've gotten put some more technical, you know, stuff into your music. How, yeah. How are your feelings looking back at some of the demos and, as far, and the first LPs?
Well, you know, I mean, when we first started out this band, we had the same influences. Like I said, we grew up listening to like early Earache stuff, Slayer, early thrash, all that stuff. And then, but we also were big fans of like, you know, Cro-Mags and Agnostic Front and Life's Blood and all these kind of like really gritty, heavy bands that, you know, and obviously we grew up in the same town as Integrity. So, you know, we saw what they were doing and we didn't want to be them. We never wanted to be them, but, and we were friends with them, but it kind of showed us that we could bring all these influences in, all our stuff. We don't have to be, you know, pigeonholed into just doing kind of like, you know, your standard, you know, mid to late 80s hardcore. We could bring in some grindcore. You know what I mean? We listen to Carcass. Let's do a grind part. That we had no rules. But, you know, when we were younger, we weren't obviously, you know, guitar wise or vocal wise, you know, we weren't as experienced. We weren't as good. You know, as you get older, you get better at guitar, you get better at singing, hopefully. So as we got older, we got a little bit more experience and we were able to do all the things that we wanted to do early on. We just kind of gradually worked those things in and got better as a unit, better as a band. We got better production. You were just growing up, you know?
I did a listen today between both of them. It's cool because I listen and I love both of these records, this, your latest, you know, studio album and your demo and your first LP. I love them for different reasons. When I listen to that first stuff, the cool thing is I love that raw, like the more shouty vocals, the hard, there's some stuff that's simple and it's just like, there's just some parts to just, beat ass too. And there's just some like some simple punk parts. And I absolutely love that. But then I just skipped all the way forward to now. And it's just like, it's cool how there's that same intensity in there, but there's a bigger sound. There's some professionalism in there. Which is not in the bad way, I guess.
Right. No, I mean, we're just better musicians. I mean, you know, any band you could talk to that's still around, that's been along, are they better players after 30 years? You would think so.
We're all hoping.
Yeah.
Some maybe not.
Yeah. You just grow as a musician and you get better at what you do. And that gives you a little more options, you know, a little more tricks in your bag as the coin a phrase. But yeah, I mean, we still try to we still make songs and create songs the exact same way that we did 30 years ago. I mean, we don't make a big deal out of it. There's not a lot of pre-production. There's not a lot of fancy bullshit. You know, Matt writes a song and I sing to it. You know what I mean? And that's all there is to it.
One of the coolest things I heard you say is Ringworm is like a one trick pony, but it's a really good trick.
Yeah.
There's variations. It doesn't just because you're doing the same style thing doesn't mean you can't have it. You can't hit refresh a little bit and make it.
Sure. I mean, look, we don't reinvent the wheel, but we kind of our own wheel. We kind of do, you know, we'll dabble with some stuff, but we don't want to come out there and just completely change our style, because why would we want to do that? That's not Absolutely. What we do. So we, you know, we fuck around with stuff here and there, and, you know, we've got a lot of records to do that. You know what I mean? If you go back through our catalog, there's some songs on each one of our records that stands out from what we are known for doing, but we don't make that the whole focal point of a record, you know. And particularly with this new one, we were very conscious of what we were doing with this new record, because when we were done with this, done with all like the preliminary songs, we kind of like, you know what? There's no slow songs. There's no slow songs. There's no like doomy songs. There's, this is start to finish a full throttle hammer down record. You know what I mean? It's nonstop. And we knew that. I mean, we weren't trying to make Dark Side of the Moon with this, you know what I mean? And we were very conscious of what we were doing with this record. Like, it's just a fucking brutal record of song after song after song. And we knew there'd be like, look, there's not a lot of dynamics. There's not a lot of fucking time to breathe. We're just like, so what? Fuck it. This is a nonstop trip to hell. So get in, you know, we're going.
It I listened to it this morning. It pairs very well with my morning Starbucks.
Yeah, right.
Just it didn't let up. I was like, all right, all right, I'm here. I'm away.
Yeah, this record is you know, I've heard some, you know, heard some reviews about it, and it's all good. You know what I mean? We never really give a fuck about that shit. But you know, if anything, what's to be said is like, well, it all kind of sounds the same. And we knew that was going to happen, but we don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what this record's for. This record is just a fucking, it's a collection of fucking ass beating songs all shoved together. So it's like, it's a tool. It's basically, this record is just specifically made for what it is. It's just full throttle, man, just full throttle, put it on and it goes. And then the last track kind of is a little cool down for everybody, you know, something we threw in there to be nice.
So what are some stuff that really inspire you to do what you do?
Well, I mean, vocally, there's some guys that are in this genre that I really look up to, like Roger Murray. He's one of my favorites. John from Negative Approach. These are guys that have been doing it forever. Especially John from Negative Approach. I mean, if you ever get this chance to see those, they've been along way longer than we have. And those guys are still fucking as intense as I've ever seen them. And it's almost scary watching them play, because these fucking guys, like, John is just a really intense front man, and I fucking love it. So I always look to that for inspiration, kind of like, well, here's, you know, because people be like, what are you going to do this when you're 70? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe, you know, if I can. But dudes like Jazz Coleman from like Killing Joke, he's a very intense front man. You know, guys that I like, front men that when you watch them play, you believe what you believe them. They're not just saying words. They're not having the crowd sing half the shit for them. You know what I mean? Because it seems it's about them. You know what I mean? Like, in a good way. Like, they mean the words that they're saying. And they're very intense. And a lot of the stuff is not written for everyone to participate and sing along. It's like, no. It's not about that. It's about, like, you're going to listen to what I have to say. And there's a lot, you know, so those are two guys I look at. I'm like, see, those guys are fucking, they're really into it. You know what I mean? Even after all this time, they sounds like they're, and I believe that they just really mean, they have conviction behind their vocals. You know, they're like, they're putting it out there, and it's, you know, it's inspiring to watch, you know, on a vocal standpoint. So those are just a couple of guys that I'm like, you know, and then every so often I'll see a band when we're touring or whatever. And I'll watch a younger band and I'll be like, oh, here we go. You know, there's a guy who gets it. There's a girl who gets it. Like, they're going for it. You know what I mean? They have disregard for what the crowd is thinking of them. You know what I mean? They're in their own little world. They're singing their fucking songs and they're not concerned about how people are taking it. They're just doing it.
I think that's huge too. Cause we're post COVID, we've had a lot of kids go to some fests. Like, some of these festivals have gotten 10 times bigger, a lot of newer kids, and they're watching for that too, because they want that intensity. They're coming into new rooms and they're feeding off of it. Where I've seen some other hardcore bands and people just like, you know, Like they sound cool, but like they're just, you know, dudes just pacing, walking.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, me on a personal level, I don't like, you know, I never took to music like it's like you see some bands where there's like 1,000 people on stage.
Yeah,
that's never been my thing. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to watch this. I want to watch the band, you know? Yeah. So, but you know what I mean? It's always like, I don't want to, you know, that's never been our thing. You know what I mean? It's not like, hey, everybody, let's all get together and sing. And, you know, there's a lot of bands that are just, they're extremely popular, extremely big, and oftentimes very good, but it's a very big community type band. Everyone's involved. Everyone, get on stage. Let's all sing along. And that's never been our thing, maybe to our detriment, you know, but we always seem, I always feel like it feels like we're attacking the crowd and not like friends with them. You know what I mean? It's not like we're like, hey buddy, we're going to have fun. It's like, no, we don't like you and we're going to fucking go nuts.
I love variations of that. Like, yeah. In my opinion, when I'm seeing like a more mixed, maybe DIY show, mm-hmm. where, you know, we got the moshing crowd, and then we have the vocalist who's just getting in people's faces, especially even at like, you know, the floor shows when they're just, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
anyone's moshing. You're here for a show. I have a mic. I have a stage. I'm gonna just fucking go for it.
Yeah, we still play floor shows sometimes, and that's where we kind of, you know, cut our teeth on stuff like that. You know, there's also bands that are very good, very big, but if you took them off of a big stage and put them in a small room, they couldn't deliver the same way because they're not used to that close and that small of like a direct interaction with the smaller crowd or that being that close, you know what I mean? They can't function well, not on a huge stage in front of a fest or something like that. You put them in a small room, and if they could fucking bang it out in a small room, that's cool. You know,
I've seen that work opposite too. Like, where some of the newer bands, like I saw where they've had to figure out how to work bigger stages. So the band Joe, I saw them play in a small room. They fucking killed it. They went to they started playing bigger stages. It took them a couple of times to figure it out. Yeah. But Sound and Fury, they're just, people are knocking down the barriers, just going off because they figured it out. You got for both of these things, you gotta feel it out.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, it's you know, but I think, you know, being able to communicate with a crowd, a smaller crowd, is definitely a good tool to have. It just makes it more personal. And if you could bring that and modify that into for a larger crowd, but still make them feel, you know, there could be fucking thousands there, you know, if you're playing with these giant fests. But if you could find a way to make everyone or as many people as you can feel like you're playing for you, like that person, I'm playing for you, not 1,000 people, but I'm playing for this fucking dude right here, or this chick right here, you know. That's a good tool to have, and it makes it the whole experience more personal, more intense, you know? So yeah, it's a fine balance. And if you could get that, you're golden.
And I think like watching your videos, it feels like the same thing, even though some people are confused. It's not just about that. It's you're the people up there on the stage. You can create your environment.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's the thing, is we've never, you know, we don't live via like crowd participation. Like you could have a show where everyone just kind of stands and looks at you, which we've had, you know, because they don't really know how to react to some of these songs. You know, they can't fucking swing their fist to it because it's so fast. So they just have to watch. And sometimes it's like, you know, be like, wow, that wasn't a good show. I'm like, what are you talking about? That was a great show. I mean, everybody was paying attention. Like everyone was watching intently, you know, they're just taking it all in. And sometimes that's a good show too. You know, just, you don't necessarily have to have a big giant mosh pit for it to be a good show. As long as people are paying attention and they're engaged, that that brings them in, you know, they're going to remember that.
It took me a while. Honestly, it took me a while until I got a little bit wiser that that's the key right there. Like it took me like, cause you know, growing up listening primarily hardcore, that's people. I would see my friend, you know, my friends' bands, and they would, that's how they would gauge it. And that's how they would feel. And sure. And then they would be confused when people were like, oh, had so many people, hey, that was great. That was awesome. It was like, it didn't feel awesome. It was like, cause it's not all about that. And it sure. just really depends on the scene. I'm from the Seattle scene where some shows it's depending on what crowd and what bands you're going to get people just hands folded. We have a thing called the Seattle Freeze here where we don't always talk to each other. Yeah. It doesn't mean we don't like each other. It means it takes a minute to warm up, and it does. And that translates the same way to bands. I've had people, you know, come up to me like at like on online or whatever, that sometimes they're a little apprehensive. So they're in their own little world. And their folk, and that doesn't mean they're not engaged with the set or right. not engaged with the band. It just means that they're not. They're taking it in. They're doing their thing.
Sure, yeah, and that doesn't always bother us, man. We play live the same way to every crowd. You know what I mean? Whether there's a shit ton of people there or there's not that many, if they're getting into it, that's great. If they're just watching, that's fine too. We still do. You're going to see the exact same show, you know?
So before I let you go, once again, thanks so much for taking the time. I know,
no problem, man.
I know there's been a lot of these interviews and
no, honestly, I don't mind doing these things. You know what I mean? Because, you know, that's fine. Like, I want people to know us, to understand where we're coming from. You know what I mean? So yeah, these are fine, man. I don't mind doing them.
Ninth studio album out now, Seeing Through Fire, out on Nuclear Blast. What else would you like to, you know, people to know and expand?
Well, the obviously new record's out, Nuclear Blast. We're going to be heading out on tour September 27th with Venom Inc. and this band Satan, old school heavy metal band. So we're on a pretty gritty, pretty gritty metal tour, which is great because we could do hardcore tours or we could do metal tours, you know what I mean? So we're doing that one. That's 3 weeks. It's on the East Coast. And then we've got plans to head out west, because obviously with our last record in 2019, we had a lot of plans to get back out on the road and go everywhere we possibly could, but pandemic shut that down, like a lot of bands. So that kind of derailed us somewhat. But we took that time, those 2 years, and made a record. So now we're back out there and we're going to try to hit as many places that we can from now until whenever. So we're going to be out there.
And it's worth seeing. And to add on one last bonus, just like about just a little bit about touring, just like what are your, like as a band that's been doing it for so long, what are your current feelings about touring, and has your feelings, what has changed, your feelings about touring?
Well, I mean, obviously one, it's this for across the board, it's more expensive.
Yeah.
More expensive than it's ever been. I mean, so that makes it harder to do. I mean, we could get into this rabbit hole because there's a lot of people that are complaining about ticket prices and this and that. And then, but, you know, as a band, it costs you more to do this stuff. So in the end, promoters will raise ticket prices to pay the bands. And, you know, some people that are maybe in the business get that and understand that, because a lot of you need to go out there. And when you come back, you need to be able to pay your bills, because if you don't pay your bills, you're never going to see Ringworm again. You know what I mean? When we come home and we can't pay our electric bill or our rent, then you're not going to see us. So there's a fine line, you know, things are more expensive, but when it comes to touring, we've been doing it for so long, everything's automatic. You know, you fall right back into Groundhog Day sometimes because, you know, but the main thing is that keeps us afloat and keeps us moving is that we all still get along. I mean, we've been friends for fucking decades now. And everybody knows that you got to do your job. Everyone brings it every night on stage. There's no one that's phoning it in. Everyone's pro about shit. We still have fun and, you know, we'll get loaded here and there and do our thing and be dumbasses. But when it comes time to play, it's strictly business. We know what we're doing. And at this point too, we do, me personally, I try to take care of myself a little bit too. I mean, I have to. I mean, at this age, you don't, you know, you've got to be able to, you got to get up, be able to up there and do your thing. So you have to kind of take care of yourself physically a little bit better, which we all do a little bit. Yeah, it's for us, it's automatic. When we get in the van, we know exactly what we're in store for. You know, there's no surprises. We know how to prep our lives, our private lives, our personal lives for touring, you know, I mean, as best you can. I mean, life happens. So sometimes it's like you're out on the road and, you know, your fucking dog or your cat gets sick. You know what I mean? There's shit like that, that like not a lot of people think about that makes leaving home difficult, but it is what it is, man. And we still love doing it. So, you know,
yeah, you said it best. It's kind of, yeah, but I feel like that's kind of like anything, like with that you've done, that you do for a long time, whether it's a job or whatever, sometimes it gets Groundhog Day, but if it's something you actually,
yeah.
Love. I mean,
Groundhog Day in a good way. I mean, you're yeah. prepared. You know what you're doing. You're not, you know the trip falls. You know your body. You know the limits which you can push your body through. You know, and then you try to push them a little further. But you know, we're pretty seasoned professionals at this. You know, as primitive as we are, we're fucking assassins out there. You know what I mean? We know exactly how to navigate this stuff, you know? So touring is not, whereas we love it. And it's, you know, we don't look at it as like, oh my God, we're going on tour. We can't believe it. No, this is just another tour. And we're going to go out there and kick ass like we always do. You know, it's just automatic.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, anything else before I get you out
of here? No, man, no, I appreciate your time. And I'm glad people are digging on the new record. You know, we're hoping to, like I said, we've got a tour East Coast in September. And then we are in the works. We got some tours in the works to come out West where you are, because we haven't been out there in a while.
No, it's been a minute.
Definitely Seattle, Portland, that area. We love playing out there. Love all the West Coast, really. We have a really good time out there. Lots of friends, lots of cool bands. And we always have a good time. So we're looking forward to that. So you'll probably be hearing about something coming up fairly soon. Yeah, man, we're just we're pumped on the new record, man. We're glad it's coming. We're glad that although we don't do it for that reason, we're glad that people are kind of getting into this one and kind of understanding. You know, it only takes 35 years for a band to get understood a little bit. And this band for some reason still seems like a mystery to people. You know, and it's. You know, we've never been in hiding. You know, we've always been in everyone's plain sight. But, you know, maybe if this is the record that finally gets some outsiders or outliers to actually listen to us or pay attention to it. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, fuck, I should have listened to this band fucking 30 years ago. But that's OK, too, because now, you know, any newcomers have a rich history and discography to fucking dive into. So
there's a lot to go, and it's definitely for some new metal and hardcore fans and people who like the crossover. They're gonna pick up some stuff. They're like, oh, okay, yeah. that's where this all comes from. This is great. Yeah. This sure. is I mean, awesome.
Yeah, we've been doing our thing for a long time, so it's yeah, man. Like I said, we just we do what we do, and that's that.
Well, make sure to check it out. Seeing Through Fire, Ringworm's 9th studio album. Check out the discography. Check out a show.
Yeah, right on.
Bang your head, mosh.
Yep.
Do whatever the fuck you want to do. Just go, just listen to that shit. It's
right on. Couldn't have said it any better myself, man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries, man. Thanks for your time, man. I'll catch up with you later.